So our text for our Reformation Day contemplation is John chapter 8. These words, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you know, this really seems easy enough to do, doesn't it? Easy enough to do, to abide in the word of Jesus, the word of God. What does that mean, though? What does it mean to abide in the Word of God? It means to remain in it, to read it, to learn it, to inwardly digest it, as it is said. That is to think about it daily, even hourly, and allow it to inform our lives. That is the way we think and the way we act, the way we speak, specifically as that word would convey to us the life of forgiveness and salvation, which is a life lived in Christ. Now that life is a life of faith in Christ, a life of love in Christ, a life of hope in Christ. Simply put, it is a life in which the forgiveness of sin is daily believed and embraced and lived, freeing our consciences to love and serve our neighbor simply and humbly. Now all of that, all of these aspects of the life lived in Christ, they flow from the Word of Christ, the Word of God, which the Holy Spirit Himself uses to change us from the inside out as we read it, as we learn it, thinking about it. That is, as we remain in the Word of God, in the Word of Jesus. "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly," we read in Colossians. Our text again, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Free from what? Free from what? From sin. From sin, and thus from guilt, from shame, from self-loathing, regret, and all such sin-caused emotions and thoughts and feelings which motivate us to do nothing but sit in a corner metaphorically and continually lick the wounds that life has inflicted upon us day after day after day. Just like we can't go to work if we're stuck in a hospital bed, we likewise cannot live and love and serve if we are stuck in a corner of self-contempt and of despair. So we must remain in the Word of Jesus, the Word of God. And that should be easy, right? Should be easy. And apparently not. It is, so it seems, our tendency always gradually to drift away from it. Summer after I graduated from high school, that is 1984, I worked at our local Taco Bell there in Colorado. Now, any of you who have worked in a fast food restaurant know that a good deal of training takes place when you begin to work there. Why? Well, the food must be prepared properly using proper proportions. So at Taco Bell, I was taught how much meat and lettuce and cheese went on each taco, how much the refried beans and red sauce and onions and cheese went on each burrito, how much of the beans and meat and nacho cheese and tomatoes and green onions and sour cream went in a nacho Bel Grande along with an olive slice. They don't do that anymore. Now, as I was being taught how to do that, the food I would make would be weighed on a scale to make sure I had not used proportions that were too big. Why? Well, too much meat on one taco, that wasn't that big of a deal. Too much meat on every taco? Hundreds of tacos over an 8-hour shift was a big deal. It ate into profits, ran through inventory, and even, we could say, endangered the livelihood of everyone working at the restaurant. For the restaurant didn't make a profit, it would have to close. Everyone would lose their jobs. Well, initially, everyone who worked there at Taco Bell was careful about such things, about proportions. But over time, we would forget. And then a rush would occur, a rush in which we just needed to get the food out the door. And when that happens, who cares about the details? And then, well, we'd be shopped. Now, what does that mean? It meant that we'd be tested as to how we were doing while we were doing it. A man or a woman would appear out of nowhere, timer in hand and a clipboard. Food would be weighed, temperatures of the food would be taken, the cleanliness of the kitchen and dining room would be assessed, attire rated, and after about 30 minutes, we would get a report card of sorts. And if that report card was anything less than an A, we'd be in trouble. For you see, the reality was that over time, even though we had been trained properly, we'd become sloppy, become lazy. Other things became more important, like just filling out an order, no matter how we did it. Getting through a shift, talking to coworkers, avoiding work that we didn't want to do. As opposed to simply filling out an order correctly, we could say, what had we done? We had drifted away from our training. Well, today we observe the Reformation of the Church, the reforming of the Church, which began in 1517 when a monk by the name of Martin Luther, having read his Bible, realized that what was being taught by the Church was not what was taught in the Bible, in the Word of God. In other words, what Luther noted was that the Church had drifted away from Jesus. That is, had not abided, had not remained in the words of Jesus. Why? Well, other matters had become more important, chiefly the running of the daily life of Europe. You see, in Luther's day, the church and the government of Europe had kind of run together, so that of utter importance from day to day had become the functioning of Europe, functioning of the state. Which buildings got built? Which people got which positions? How were armies funded? Where would they go? So forth and so on. In fact, to a certain extent, we could say that in Luther's day, one of the most important aspects of the church was the collecting of monies. Some things don't change. So the scheme that really showed just how far the church had drifted from the word of Jesus, and that is the idea that if a person bought a simple piece of paper from the church, called an indulgence, that piece of paper assured that that person would not go to hell, but would go to heaven. That they would receive complete and total forgiveness of all sin throughout their entire life, by just buying it. Now that's what got the ball rolling. For when Luther pointed out that the forgiveness of sin was not some spiritual product to be bought and sold, but was actually the free gift of God, like we heard in our epistle reading, given to us by the grace of God through faith in the Son, people stopped buying those pieces of paper. And when people stopped buying those pieces of paper, the money stopped flowing in. Money's needed for large building projects. You see, over centuries, what had happened was that the culture of the church, its buildings and offices and authorities and opportunities, had become more important than the church itself. That is, the priesthood of all believers. In other words, all those who believe in Jesus as our Lord and Savior from sin and death and the power of the devil. Put another way, over time, the church had drifted. The church had not remained in the words of Jesus, and so ceased to be his disciples. Now, can the same thing still happen to us today? Well, you bet. You bet. When we allow the culture of our lives, whether it's the culture of our nation or our state or our city, or even our family or our personal culture, which is big nowadays, to become more important than the words of Jesus, we ourselves need a reformation. We need a personal reformation. A reformation in which we personally return, each and every one of us, to the Word of God. Once again, immerse ourselves within it. Once again, reading simply the words of Jesus, allowing the Holy Spirit to work within us, changing our hearts and souls and minds. And why not? Why not? For what Christ offers to us through that forgiveness of sin, which only He can give, is freedom. Freedom. No, not political freedom. Not social freedom, not financial freedom either. No, what Christ offers to us through the preaching of the gospel is spiritual freedom, and that spiritual freedom is the greatest of all freedoms. Why? Well, we know that spiritual freedom today by a different term, a different expression, and that is psychological freedom. Yeah, I just said that. Hear me out. Now, the word psychology first came into vogue around 1850, and it's been with us ever since. And although when we think of psychology, we think of the study of the mind and how the mind works, the word itself was formed by combining the Greek word psuche, which means soul, and logia, which means words or reason. So literally, the term psychology means what? The study of the soul. The study of our innermost being. And if our innermost being is free, it's free from guilt and shame and regret and remorse and fear and self-loathing. Yes, if our innermost being is freed from those things, then we are truly free. Free to live, free to love, and free to serve. Well, that's what forgiveness of sin, which is ours in Jesus Christ, does. For the Holy Spirit fixes and repairs our souls, cleaning them, making them new once again every single day. So Luther would begin his pivotal work entitled, what? The Freedom of the Christian. Yes, he would begin that Christian classic in this way. No one can write about Christian faith or know if others have written correctly about it unless he himself has been comforted by it. And whoever has been comforted by Christian faith in even the smallest way cannot cease to write and speak and think or hear about it. This is why Christ calls faith a spring welling up to eternal life. There Luther's quoting John 4:14. It's that spring, it's that faith that once again was proclaimed throughout the world when one simple monk way back in 1517 dared to suggest that the church of God on earth abide by the words of Jesus. And in so doing, the life of Christ, the life of forgiveness, the life and salvation once again became what the church was all about. Sure, it took time, over a century, before what was put in motion politically, socially, and of course spiritually by a singular call to abide in the word of Christ came to complete fruition. But of course, for us today, the challenge remains. And that is to remain in the word of God, to abide in the word of Jesus. Now, what works against us? Life does, doesn't it? Overwhelming life. Overscheduled life. Over-videoed life. Over-recorded life. Over-commented upon life. Over-liked life. And over-befriended life. Who has time nowadays to remain in the words of Jesus? Well, it's a matter of priorities, isn't it? What it really can be better than the freedom that is ours, the freedom not just in our souls, but in our hearts and our minds, which is ours daily, every hour, every minute, through faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What is more valuable, more precious, more wondrous than true Christian freedom? The freedom that flows from the truth that in Christ our sins daily are forgiven. Our text again, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen. Now may the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Let us rise for prayer.